In this episode, we continue our exploration of the Satanic Bible with the Book of Satan. We know that LaVey copied from Might is Right, but how much did he copy? And is it plagiarism, fair use, or both? Let's find out on Library Luciferi. Welcome, devilish readers, to Library Luciferi, your on-the-go satanic literary review. I am Jameson Rowan, your librarian of these infernal stacks. So the Book of Satan is just reworked statements lifted straight from Ragnar Redbeard's Might is Right. Let's start with what the latter and its author are, and then look at how it appears in the Satanic Bible. Might is Right is a social Darwinist text first published in 1896 by Ragnar Redbeard. The pseudonym provided much mystery as to the true author's identity, and eventually the author was revealed to be Arthur Desmond, a politician, writer, and atheist. Not much is really confirmed about Desmond's early life, but it is likely that he was born in New Zealand and was of Irish and English ancestry. His political career in New Zealand spanned from the mid to late 1880s, and in Australia in the early 1890s, leading a platform of land nationalization, creating a national bank, as well as supporting the Maori Nation. He left for the U.S. in 1895 and wrote the book titled Survival of the Fittest, later retitled Might is Right, as Ragnar Redbeard. For those of you wondering, he did have red hair, including a beard. His book glorifies power by force, toxic masculinity, hedonism, and is filled with misogyny and anti-Semitism. It has been republished many times since its original publication, the last being in 2019 and 2020 by Underworld Amusements. For anyone who wants to follow along with their own copies, I am using the authoritative second edition of Might is Right, published in 2020 by Underworld Amusements. This edition reconciles the differences between all previous publishings. It includes former prefaces and has lots of annotations. I mean, lots. It also has a foreword by Peter H. Gilmore, who explains LaVey's use of Redbeard's text. I will provide a link to the book in the show's description. The edition of Satanic Bible I'll use to compare against Might is Right is the post-2005 edition with Peter H. Gilmore's foreword. I will post Amazon and Barnes & Noble links to that. Since this is a comparison between two texts, there will be a lot of going back and forth. I will do my best in this episode to try and keep everything clear and concise. I may sometime soon write out my notes in a more readable format than they are now and post them so that you can see the comparisons, but for now, please bear with me. In the foreword to Might is Right, Peter H. Gilmore explains how he learned about Anton LaVey's use for the text for the Satanic Bible. He tells us that LaVey's copy was a 1910 edition published by W.J. Robbins & Company in London. He includes a quote from LaVey about his thoughts on Might is Right, which I'll read. It's pretty short. A fractional content of Might is Right was edited for inclusion because the book is so filled with glaring contradictions that it is at best a rant. It was that very rant format, however, that had fired me up and in many ways spoke for me. I intended the Satanic Bible itself to be an instructional rant, albeit a necessary and largely rational one. I decided to immortalize a writer who had profoundly reached me. Gilmore goes on to describe how LaVey at first thought Jack London was the author of Might is Right because during his research into Might is Right, he looked at some unpublished papers of Jack London and found a handwritten copy of Might is Right, so naturally assumed that this was like an early draft. It later came to be that Arthur Desmond was revealed as Ragnar Redbeard, and so in a quick quote that Gilmore includes of LaVey, "If London didn't author what I saw, he liked it so much he made his own copy." End quote. Gilmore then confirms Redbeard as Desmond, whom Gilmore calls British-born. In some bios I found of Desmond, some have said his birthplace was New Zealand, others in England, and Desmond himself was said to have listed Chicago as his birthplace. Again, not much has been confirmed about Desmond's early life. After that, he gives a final word about LaVey's homage to Redbeard before ending it with an invitation to the reader to read the book with an open mind. Quote, LaVey focused the excerpts he took from Desmond's work to project its quintessence, the rejection of forced egalitarianism via submission and instead championing a prideful self-determinism. That is not a distortion of Redbeard's essential message, but it does reject elements of the work which contradict that premise by accepting collectivist thinking. LaVey did not intend for people who might examine the full text of Might is Right to do so uncritically, for certainly he didn't, as we witness from his own words. End quote. So, to summarize, LaVey may have paid homage, but he certainly didn't agree with everything Desmond had to say, so you don't have to either. So with that, let's start with the Book of Satan, starting with its layout. As the first book of the Satanic Bible, the Book of Satan is split into a one-page introduction and five sections, spanning a total of 5.5 pages. The introduction to the Book of Satan is simply a message that the devil has suffered too long by the Christians of being judged and shouted down without an opportunity to fight back. LaVey writes how the devil has been a gentleman in the face of this abuse and is taking the chance now to speak his piece. Personally, I doubt that if Satan actually spoke, his words would be copied from someone else without credit. Just my opinion. After this intro, we move into the five sections. All of section 1 in Book of Satan is copied from most of the first section of chapter 1 in Might is Right. The beginning statement. In this arid wilderness of steel and stone, I raise up my voice that you may hear. To the east and to the west I beckon. To the north and to the south I show a sign proclaiming death to the weakling, wealth to the strong, is verbatim to Redbeard's writing. The second sentence does differ with Might is Right in two places. Here is the original. Open your eyes that you may hear, O men of mildewed minds, and listen to me, ye laborious millions. Now, here is LaVey's version. Open your eyes that you may see, O men of mildewed minds, and listen to me, ye bewildered millions. LaVey uses see instead of hear, which makes a lot more sense since you don't hear with your eyes. He also substitutes laborious with bewildered. Since there is nothing in the annotations to say if perhaps bewildered was used in earlier editions of Might is Right, I believe this was a personal choice of LaVey, which makes sense because since Desmond was all about the labor movement, he would have used laborious, whereas LaVey's focus is on challenging the views of Christianity and those who believe in a non-existent God. So bewildered makes much more sense for LaVey to use than laborious. The next three statements are all verbatim to Might is Right. 3. For I stand forth to challenge the wisdom of the world, to interrogate the laws of man and of God. 4. I request reasons for your golden rule, and ask the why and wherefore of your Ten Commands. 5. Before none of your printed idols do I bend in acquiescence, and he who saith, Thou shalt to me, is my mortal foe. The sixth statement removes some words, however. Here's Redbeard. I dip my forefinger in the watery blood of your impotent mad mob redeemer, your divine democrat, your Hebrew madman, and write over his thorn-torn brow, the true prince of evil, the king of the slaves. LaVey shortened this to, I dip my forefinger in the watery blood of your impotent mad redeemer, and write over his thorn-torn brow, the true prince of evil, the king of the slaves. Now, I'm sure you also caught the difference between Mob Redeemer versus Mad Redeemer. There is an annotation that the 1896 and 1903 versions printed Mob, while the 1910 and 1927 editions have Mad. So, knowing LaVey used the 1910 edition, his text mirrors the source. Statement 7. No hoary falsehood shall be a truth to me. No cult or dogma shall encramp my pen. LaVey here changes cult or to stifling, most likely a personal choice. LaVey extends the next statement, while Redbeard writes, I break away from all conventions, period. LaVey writes, I break away from all conventions that do not lead to my earthly success and happiness. I haven't found where that last part shows up in Redbeard's writing, but my belief is that LaVey added this to emphasize the carnal message of his teachings, his live life now on earth philosophy. Statements 9 through 11 are verbatim. 9. I raise up in stern invasion the standard of the strong. 10. I gaze into the glassy eye of your fearsome Jehovah and pluck him by the beard. I uplift a broadaxe and split his worm-eaten skull. 11. I blast out the ghastly contents of philosophically wilted sculptures and laugh with sardonic wrath. That ends the first section of Book of Satan. The next section contains some bouncing around regarding where quotes are copied from Midas Wright. Instead of Chapter 1, Section 1 from Redbeard, LaVey's first Section 2 statement comes from a small section just before Redbeard's title page. Behold the crucifix. What does it symbolize? Pallid incompetence hanging on a tree. Then LaVey returns to the first section of Midas Wright and merges two separate statements. I question all things. As I stand before the festering and varnished facades of your haughtiest moral dogmas, I write thereon in letters of blazing scorn. Lo and behold, all this is fraud. Next is short, sweet, and verbatim. Gather around me, O ye death-defiant, and the earth itself shall be thine, to have and to hold. Now we leave Chapter 1, Section 1 of Midas Wright, and start getting quotes from Chapter 1, Section 5. And, of course, LaVey copies verbatim, splitting one sentence of Redbeard into two. 4. Too long the dead hand has been permitted to sterilize living thought. 5. Too long right and wrong, good and evil have been inverted by false prophets. Number 6 is reworked quite a bit, so let me read you Redbeard first. In the days that are at hand, neither creed nor code must be accepted upon authority, human, superhuman, or divine. Morality and conventionalism are for subordinates. Religions and constitutions and all arbitrary principles, every mortal theorem, must be deliberately put to the question. No moral dogma must be taken for granted, no standard of measurement deified. There is nothing inherently sacred about moral codes. Like the wooden idols of long ago, they are all the work of human hands. And what man has made, man can destroy. Now, LaVey. No creed must be accepted upon authority of a divine nature. Religions must be put to the question. No moral dogma must be taken for granted. No standard of measurement deified. There is nothing inherently sacred about moral codes. Like the wooden idols of long ago, they are the work of human hands, and what man has made, man can destroy. LaVey's is tighter and more concise to make it a standalone statement rather than an idea within a paragraph. Number 7 is verbatim. He that is slow to believe anything and everything is of great understanding, for belief in one false principle is the beginning of all unwisdom. 8 is reworked slightly. I'll read Redbeard. The chief duty of every new age is to upraise new men to determine its liberties, to lead it towards material success, to rend, as it were, the rusty padlocks and chains of dead custom that always prevent healthy expansion. Theories and ideals and constitutions that may have meant life and hope and freedom for our ancestors may now mean destruction, slavery, and dishonor to us. In LaVey's version, he simply removes the phrase, as it were, and the word constitutions. 9 is verbatim. As environments change, no human ideal standeth sure. 10 is almost verbatim. Wherever, therefore, a lie has built unto itself a throne, let it be assailed without pity and without regret, for under the domination of a falsehood, no nation can permanently prosper. LaVey edited down that last part to no one can prosper. 11 and 12, verbatim. 11. Let established sophisms be dethroned, rooted out, burnt and destroyed, for they are a standing menace to all true nobility of thought and action. 12. Whatever alleged truth is proven by results to be but an empty fiction, let it be unceremoniously flung into the outer darkness among the dead gods, dead empires, dead philosophies, and other useless lumber and wreckage. Number 13 has minor changes. In Mida's Rite, the text reads, "The most dangerous of all enthroned lies is the holy, the sanctified, the privileged lie, the lie that everybody believes to be a model truth. It is the fruitful mother of all popular errors and illusions. It is hydra-headed. It has 1,000 roots. It is a social cancer." LeVay wrote everyone instead of everybody and combined the last sentences into one to read 13. "The most dangerous of all enthroned lies is the holy, the sanctified, the privileged lie, the lie everyone believes to be a model truth. It is the fruitful mother of all other popular errors and illusions. It is hydra-headed tree of unreason with 1,000 roots. It is a social cancer." Number 14 is also slightly reworked. "The lie that is known to be a lie is half eradicated, but the lie that even intelligent persons regard as a sacred fact, the lie that has been inculcated around a mother's knee, is more dangerous to contend against a creeping pestilence." Which LeVay altered to read, 14. "The lie that is known to be a lie is half eradicated, but the lie that even intelligent persons accept as fact, the lie that has been inculcated in a little child at its mother's knee, is more dangerous to contend against than a creeping pestilence." 15 tightens Redbeard's writing and is mostly a direct copy. 15. "Popular lies have ever been the most potent enemies of personal liberty. There is only one way to deal with them. Cut them out, to the very core, just as cancers. Exterminate them root and branch. Annihilate them, or they will us." That concludes section 2 of Book of Satan. 2 sections down and 3 to go. But before that, let's catch our breath and take a quick break. Join me afterward as we dive into sections 3, 4, and 5 and finish up the Book of Satan. Welcome back, devilish readers. To pick up where we left off, we're now starting section 3 of Book of Satan. And in Mida's Rite, the section where you will find these statements is chapter 2, section 4. Statement 1 is another that tightens Redbeard's writing to make it a standalone thought rather than part of a larger paragraph. Here's LeVay. "Love one another, it has been said, is the supreme law. But what power made it so? Upon what rational authority does the gospel of love rest? Why should I not hate mine enemies? If I love them, does that not place me at their mercy?" Now here's Redbeard. "Love one another, you say, is the supreme law, but what power made it so? Upon what rational authority does the gospel of love rest? Is it even possible of practice, and what would result from its universal application to active affairs? Why should I not hate mine enemies and hunt them down like the wild beasts that they are? Again I ask, why? If I love them, does that not place me at their mercy?" Statements 2 through 4 are verbatim. 2. "Is it natural for enemies to do good unto each other? And what is good?" 3. "Can the torn and bloody victim love the blood-spattered jaws that rend him limb from limb?" 4. "Are we not all predatory animals by instinct? If humans ceased wholly from preying upon each other, could they continue to exist?" 5 is most likely original. I have searched and searched Mida's Rite for the source of this one and have had no luck, so I can only suspect that this was one of the few original statements that LeVay wrote. Here it is. 5. "Is not lust and carnal desire a more truthful term to describe love when applied to the continuance of the race? Is not the love of the fawning scripture simply a euphemism for sexual activity, or was the great teacher a glorifier of eunuchs?" Now, it certainly sounds like Redbeard, especially had it come from chapter 6, titled Love and Women and War, because that deals a lot with sex and women and the so-called continuance of the human race. But if it is original to LaVey, then it kind of also makes sense because LaVey did believe in sexual freedom, and it kind of ties into his experiences of the carnival, where he would watch the men experience hedonism at the carnival and then pray for forgiveness Sunday morning, only to do it again the next weekend. Moving on to 6, LaVey alters the text slightly here. Here's LaVey. 6. Love your enemies and do good to them that hate and use you. Is this not the despicable philosophy of the spaniel that rolls upon its back when kicked? Redbeard's original text was, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you is the despicable philosophy of the spaniel that rolls upon its back when kicked. So LaVey kind of turns it more into a question than a statement. 7 is mostly verbatim, but morphs two statements together. Here's LaVey. 7. Hate your enemies with a whole heart, and if a man smite you on one cheek, smash him on the other. Smite him hip and thigh, for self-preservation is the highest law. Redbeard writes, but hate your enemies with a whole heart, and if a man smite you on one cheek, smash him down. Smite him hip and thigh, for self-preservation is the highest law. Redbeard also writes in a section at the end of chapter 4, titled Be as a Lion on the Path, but I say unto you, if a man smite you on one cheek, smash him on the other. So the whole don't turn the other cheek is kind of repeated in Might is Right, and I think LaVey just kind of combined those two sections into one statement. Just kind of give it a little more sense. 8 is verbatim. He who turns the other cheek is a cowardly dog. If you listen to the first episode, you'll remember that turning the other cheek was actually a smartass move of the one being struck than it was pacifism. So I won't repeat that here, since I already explained it more in detail last episode. Finally, 9 begins verbatim until the last sentence. Quote LaVey, give blow for blow, scorn for scorn, doom for doom, with compound interest liberally added thereunto. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, eye for fold, 100-fold. Make yourself a terror to your adversary, and when he goeth his way, he will possess much additional wisdom to ruminate over. Thus shall you make yourself respected in all the walks of life, and your spirit, your immortal spirit, shall live, not in an intangible paradise, but in the brains and sinews of those whose respect you have gained. Redbeard's original last sentence was, thus shall you make yourself respected in all the walks of life, and your spirit, your immortal spirit, shall live, not in an intangible paradise, but in the brains and sinews of your aggressive and unconquerable sons. That's the end of section 3. 2 more to go. Section 4 is the shortest of the 5, with only 5 statements, all of which come from Might is Right's Chapter 3, Section 13. Statement number 1 is heavily reworked, fitting LaVey's theme of indulgence. The original text reads, life itself is but a spark in the gloom that flashes out and disappears. Why, therefore, not make the most of it here and now, here and now? LaVey tweaked it as, life is the great indulgence, death the great abstinence. Therefore, make the most of life here and now. Second statement is another tightening. What Redbeard originally writes is, there is no heaven of glory bright, and no hell where sinners roast. There is no right, there is no wrong, nor God, nor sun, nor ghost. Death endeth all for every man, for every son of thunder. Then be a lion in the path, and don't be trampled under. For us there is no rest, no kingdom of indolence, either on this earth or beyond the skies, no isles of the blessed, no Elysian fields, no garden of the Hesperides. No, no. All these magical legends are but fanciful waking dreams, fiction of mortals of yore. Here and now is our day of torment. Here and now is our day of joy. Here and now is our opportunity to eat or to be eaten, to be lion or lamb. Here and now, it is war to the knife, no escape, no retreat. Choose ye this day, this hour, for no redeemer liveth. LaVey takes all of that and shortens it down to, there is no heaven of glory bright, and no hell where sinners roast. Here and now is our day of torment. Here and now is our day of joy. Here and now is our opportunity. Choose ye this day, this hour, for no redeemer liveth. Number 3 and 4 also tighten. Original. Be a terrible one in thine own defense. Raise up also the clenched hand, and stop the way of them that would persecute you. Say unto thine own heart and soul, I, even I, am mine own redeemer. Let them be hurled back to confusion and infamy, who devise thine undoing. Let them be as chaff before the cyclone, and let the angel of death pursue them, nay, overtake them. In a pit they have hidden a trap for thy feet, into that very destruction let them fall. Then, exultant, sound the loud timbrel, rejoice, rejoice, in thine own salvation. LaVey writes, 3. Say unto thine own heart, I am mine own redeemer. 4. Stop the way of them that would persecute you. Let those who devise thine undoing be hurled back to confusion and infamy. Let them be as chaff before the cyclone, and after they have fallen, rejoice in thine own salvation. Number 5, the final of this set, is almost verbatim, but switches two statements, where Redbeard writes, then all thy bones shall say pridefully, who is like unto me? Have I not delivered myself by mine own brain? Have I not been too strong for mine adversaries? Have I not spoiled them that would have spoiled me? LaVey switches to read, then all thy bones shall say pridefully, who is like unto me? Have I not been too strong for mine own adversaries? Have I not delivered myself by mine own brain and body? All right, final section. You still with me? Section 5 of Book of Satan returns to Chapter 2 of Might is Right, this time coming from Section 12. What many will notice immediately in this section is that it is a complete overhaul of the Beatitudes from the Christian Bible. Instead of blessing the meek and nonviolent, Redbeard, and subsequently LaVey, bless the strong and selfish. It's a rework of a rework. Starting off, 1 and 2 are verbatim. 1. Blessed are the strong, for they shall possess the earth. Cursed are the weak, for they shall inherit the yoke. 2. Blessed are the powerful, for they shall be reverenced among men. Cursed are the feeble, for they shall be blotted out. 3 is slightly different. The original, blessed are the bold, for they shall be masters of the world. Cursed are the humble, for they shall be trodden under hooves. LaVey writes, blessed are the bold, for they shall be masters of the world. Cursed are the righteously humble, for they shall be trodden under cloven hooves. So by adding cloven, he kind of adds a little bit of devilish theme to the statement. 4 is pretty much verbatim. Blessed are the victorious, for victory is the basis of right. Cursed are the vanquished, for they shall be vassals forever. Number 5 is kind of split up in the original text. They don't belong in the same paragraph, but what LaVey does copy is pretty much word for word for the separate parts, just kind of combines them into one thing. 5. Blessed are the iron-handed, for the unfit shall flee before them. Cursed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be spat upon. 6. In the original is, blessed are the death-defiant, for their days shall be long in the land. Cursed are the feeble-brained, for they shall perish among plenty. LaVey changes feeble-brained to gazers toward a richer life beyond the grave, focusing specifically on Christians here. 7 is verbatim, blessed are the destroyers of false hope, for they are the true messiahs. Cursed are the God-adorers, for they shall be shorn sheep. 8 is verbatim, blessed are the valiant, for they shall obtain great treasure. Cursed are the believers in good and evil, for they are frightened by shadows. 9, LaVey reworks the first half. In the original, Redbeard writes, blessed are they who believe in nothing. Never shall it terrorize their minds. Cursed are the lambs of God. They shall be bled whiter than snow. LaVey writes, blessed are those that believe in what is best for them, for never shall their minds be terrorized. Cursed are the lambs of God, for they shall be bled whiter than snow. 10 is another rework. Blessed is the man who hath powerful enemies, they shall make him a hero. Cursed is he who doeth good unto others, he shall be despised. LaVey's version. Blessed is the man who has a sprinkling of enemies, for they shall make him a hero. Cursed is he who doeth good unto others, who sneer upon him in return, for he shall be despised. 11. Blessed are the mighty-minded, for they shall ride the whirlwinds. Cursed are they who teach lies for truth, and truth for lies, for they are an abomination. In the original, Redbeard just has a hyphen between R and abomination. He doesn't really have the N. So, grammatically, I like LaVey's version more. 12 is completely reworked. Original. Thrice cursed are the vile, for they shall serve and suffer. Whereas LaVey writes, thrice cursed are the weak, whose insecurity makes them vile, for they shall serve and suffer. The last statement, number 13, is most likely original, but has basis in chapter 3, section 7, very last sentence. Lo, the angel of lunacy is camped in their souls. What LaVey writes is, the angel of self-deceit is camped in the souls of the righteous. The eternal flame of power through joy dwelleth within the flesh of the Satanist. And that is it. That is the Satanic Bible's Book of Satan compared to Ragnar Redbeard's Might is Right. The statements from Might is Right definitely give the Satanic Bible the strong opening that LaVey wanted. They're brutal, they're angry and unfiltered, they're a call to action to be strong and drive out weakness. Now, the fact that it is not LaVey's original work is a point of contention for many people. Some say it's plagiarism, plain and simple, while others argue that it's fair use considering Might is Right was in the public domain already and only a few portions were used. Who is correct? Well, let's examine each side of the argument, starting with the disclaimer that I am not a copyright lawyer. I am a librarian who has done as much research as necessary into copyright laws. The definition of plagiarism by the Oxford English Dictionary is the action or practice of taking someone else's work, idea, etc., and passing it off as one's own, literary theft. The main argument for this is that LaVey did not sufficiently credit Redbeard. A dedication mentioned does not count because it doesn't elaborate on what exact parts were used. Plus, LaVey made minor enough edits that it is still essentially Redbeard's work that LaVey is passing off as his own. Some would say that LaVey did credit Redbeard later, especially in his foreword to a later edition of Might is Right, to which I reply, no. LaVey admitted later that he copied from Redbeard, and that is not the same thing as crediting him. To give proper credit, he needed to have done it in the same book as the copied material. He took what wasn't his and admitted it later when other people realized that he copied from Redbeard. And, side note, doesn't that violate LaVey's own rule of the earth not to take what wasn't his? I doubt Redbeard was crying out to be relieved of his own published text. In the other camp, there are those who call it fair use. Now, fair use requires a lot more parameters to be met, so let me briefly describe what it is and how the Book of Satan may apply. The definition of fair use given by the U.S. Copyright Office is, fair use is a legal doctrine that promotes freedom of expression by permitting the unlicensed use of copyright-protected works in certain circumstances. Section 107 of the Copyright Act provides the statutory framework for determining whether something is a fair use and identifies certain types of uses, such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research, as examples of activities that may qualify as fair use. From there, the Copyright Office lists four considerations. Purpose of the work, its nature, how much of the original work was used, and the effect the new work has in the market against the original. There is a handy fair use checklist created by Kenneth D. Cruz of Columbia University and Dwayne K. Butler of University of Columbia. I went through it and marked which items applied to Book of Satan, so I'll share with you what I marked and what the end result came out to be. In the first section about the purpose of the work, I marked that LaVey's use of Redbeard is transformative, that it changes the work to mean something new. That favors fair use, but what doesn't is that LaVey profited from the use through the royalties of the whole Satanic Bible. However, the fact that the copy text was in a published work in the first place, and that same work was nonfiction, gives LaVey 2 points toward fair use regarding the nature of the work. According to the checklist, nothing counts against him in this category. For the amount, LaVey only used small portions of Might is Right. The total, I believe, would equal perhaps a page and a half of the original work, and that's only a guess. Plus, the text used by LaVey was not central to the original work. What LaVey used is really just a scratch at the main arguments of Redbeard, and LaVey didn't exactly like everything Redbeard said. Like the nature category, nothing here counts against LaVey. In the last category of the market effect of the two works, LaVey's advantages here are that he owned a copy of Might is Right, and that no significant harm was made on the market value of the book. The numerous copies printed of the Satanic Bible are the only factor against LaVey here. However, both books are still in print, and the Satanic Bible has not replaced Might is Right in any form. So out of that whole list, I marked 7 out of 21 factors for fair use. Others could argue that more could be marked, like the amount LaVey used is appropriate towards his purpose, but I feel that is more open to opinion than clear facts. What I did mark totaled 1/3 of the pro-fair use side. On the side against fair use, I marked 2 out of 17, roughly 12%. 33% versus 12% puts the Book of Satan as fair use, according to this checklist. Now, it's fair use, but can it still be plagiarism? The short answer is yes, but it's complicated. LaVey did not properly credit Redbeard. The phrase, "to Ragnar Redbeard, whose might is right," in the dedication gives the original author's name and nods toward the title, but it doesn't acknowledge that text was taken from Might is Right and which text it was. Therefore, without the proper credit and the minor edits that LaVey made fit the definition of plagiarism. But this does not exclude it from fair use. It can certainly count against fair use, but overall, what LaVey took was small and transformative enough, plus it did not compete commercially against Might is Right, that he has a strong enough case for it. Again, I am not a copyright lawyer. These are just the results I've come to when looking up copyright laws for this episode. Copyright laws are complex, and the only thing I'm sure of that I found in my research is that LaVey did not commit copyright infringement because Might is Right's copyright had expired and it was already in the public domain when LaVey copied from it. Everything else is a gray area. And that concludes our episode of the Satanic Bible's Book of Satan. Join me next time as I review the next part of the Satanic Bible with the Book of Lucifer. This is Jameson Rowan wishing you, devilish readers, good reading. Remember, knowledge is for everyone. Thank you for listening to Library Luciferi. Hail Satan. The Satanic Library was written and produced by me, Jameson Rowan. Theme music is Dance Macabre, composed by Camille Saint-Saëns and performed by Kevin McLeod.